All I give a damn about.
The Rich Eisen Show.
God, I love that guy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Your Detroit Lions are Detroit Lions. I love watching this team play because they'll keep hitting you in the mouth.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're going to kick you in the teeth. We're going to bite a kneecap off. We're going to be the last one standing.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Still to come, New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That is a fact. Here I am. Is that an odd way to start an hour?
Rocky like a hurricane?
How about that? I like it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've had a great first 2 hours. Ian Rappaport from the NFL owners meeting in New York. And then last hour, Bruce Feldman was in studio talking college football with us. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, guess what? We re-air on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. It's all free. We say hello to our SiriusXM, Odyssey, and terrestrial radio audience, our podcast audience. We care about you. We appreciate you taking in our show. Joining us now to kick off hour number three is the head coach of the New York Jets, fresh off of handing the first loss of the season to the Philadelphia Eagles, Robert Saleh, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rich. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. I woke up half of London after midnight on Sunday, or it's really Monday technically, watching your game and watching your team do what I was thrilled to see personally, but you knew that already. So walk me through what your game plan was against Hurts without three corners and without your linemen that we know you're out for the rest of the season. What do you got for me on that front, Coach?
You know what? A lot of credit to Jeff Albrecht, Tony Oden, and Mark Vaughn Manuel, the DB coaches. You know, there was a lot of shuffling. We played a lot of different personnel groupings. There was a lot of guys in and out of the huddle, or in and out of the formation, if you will. But, you know, there was a lot of selflessness that happened on the football field with regard to the players. We had safeties playing corner. We had safeties playing nickel. We had corners playing nickel, nickels playing corner. There was just a lot of moving parts to try to put us in the best position to be successful down in and down out. And then I thought Albert called an excellent game, understanding where we were in the game and run pass tendencies and all that. And then obviously with our D-line, you know, if your D-line plays at an elite level, it doesn't matter who you have back there, you're going to have elite defense. And I thought our D-line got after it against one of the better offensive lines in football. And they're so well coached and they're so explosive, Philadelphia is. So it's, you know, hats off to the players. At the end of the day, they're the ones that suit up. And we always say players bring things to life, and our guys did that.
Are there any more Williams left for you to field to get? You got any more? Is there any more left in the family? Have you checked on that family tree, Robert?
You know, maybe they can make one.
I don't know if that's going to help for the next 12 weeks, but honestly, Quincy is a revelation, man. This guy is unbelievable. Did you see this coming in any way, shape, or form, or even use a little surprised here, Coach?
I've told the story. You can't sit there. You never know, because for every right evaluation you get 10 of them wrong. You know, it's just the way it works. But I remember I've told the story a couple times. In 2019, we drafted Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. And after we drafted Nick Bosa, I went right to Kyle and John Lynch. I said, hey, we need a linebacker. And Kyle was like, get out of here, man. You already got the second pick. Mm-hmm. If you want a linebacker, find a day three guy, someone that's going to be undrafted. otherwise, you don't bother me. And our two guys, you know, talking with D'Amico Ryans, we sat there, we evaluated all those guys, and our two favorite linebackers for day three were Quincy Williams and Dre Greenlaw. Those were our two guys. Now Quincy ended up getting drafted, and we worked with Dre, and Dre turned out being pretty darn good, and we drafted Dre. And so we got here, and Jacksonville cut Quincy. When, you know, just hands and knees. Joe, just give us a chance to work with him.
Right.
And it was easy. You know, Joe was awesome. He claimed him. We were number two in the waiver claim. And then everything else is Quincy. I think Mike Runeberg, our linebackers coach, has done a phenomenal job. But Quincy has been so good with regards to his work ethic and really remaking himself as a football player and how deliberate he is and just working with CJ and understanding what we ask out of our linebackers playing and play out. And credit to him, he's gotten so much better doing the things that we ask him to do. And he's gotten so much more explosive, so much smarter, so much more instinctive, where he's not even thinking about, you know, he's freakishly long for his size. He's like 5'10", but he has the arm length of a 6'3" athlete. He runs like a safety. He hits like a D lineman. I mean, he's a special human.
Robert Saleh here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, the narrative, I'm sure you've heard it. You live in New York City in the area, that the defense is elite. And then the offense, certainly with Rodgers down for the count at present, needs to match. And it seems like it's the same narrative as the previous year, except Zach Wilson does appear to have a better sense of things and a better game of things. What's your assessment of Zach Wilson in this bye week right now, Coach?
No, for sure. He's improving. You know, I never want to give excuses for our guys, but, you know, it hasn't been easy when you look at everything being built for Aaron and then we're having the shift in season the way we have. Credit again to the players, the coaches, and as we continue to evolve. But as we're trying to hit this knuckleball that was thrown to us four plays into the season, we're doing it against unbelievable defenses. You know, Buffalo, before all their injuries, is the top 10 unit. Dallas is a top 10 unit. New England's a top 10 unit. Kansas City's a top 10 unit. And Philadelphia's a top 10 unit. You can argue all of them are capable of being top five. And, you know, so we've as we're trying to adjust, we're playing against defenses that have been together forever. Like I said, all of those units have had 4 or 5 years of continuity, so they're playing at a much more efficient level. So you're making these changes. And again, it's not to make excuses, just try to provide context at the difficulty, at the learning curve that's taking place. So we are getting better. I know it's not quite showing the way people want to see it, but you know, just stick with it, and I think people are going to start seeing how good this offense can be. Because at the end of the day, it's not easy getting to the red zone, and we've gotten to the red zone 9 times in the last 2 weeks. So obviously the negative is we haven't been able to punch the goal line and get it across for touchdowns, but we're getting there, and we're that close. We just got to stick to it, have faith in one another, and keep plugging away.
And, of course, it's not just the physical attributes of Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's also the neck up and the ability to discern pre-snap what's coming, what can be done, how to get people in line. And hardly any other human has that ability on planet Earth, let alone somebody who's young like Zach Wilson. So my question for you is, what has Nathaniel Hackett done with the offense, with him, to switch things up in such a short order? Can you give me some examples of what you're seeing with some fruit being born right now?
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, Aaron, and he deserves this. You know, he's in the same mold as Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, where, you know, just let's put the formation out there. Don't move. Let me see what they're in, and I'll tell you, and I'll fix whatever call we have if it needs to be fixed. You know, like there are coaches that can still throw footballs. It's like a cheat code. Zach will get there one day. Zach is incredibly smart. He's really tied into the game. He's a student of the game, and he's constantly studying. But like you said, he's young. So, you know, Hackett has taken some of that off him. It's more call it and run it. It's a lot more moving, a lot more pre-snap motion and movement. So a lot of things that you traditionally wouldn't have seen with Aaron. But again, you know, there's little things. I don't want to get too deep into it, Rich. I'm sorry, just because a full show. But there's little things happening really big things happening that haven't quite come to fruition yet. But, you know, you can't just flip the switch. You know, you've got to slowly spoon feed it as you build. You can't just throw it all away in 1 week because you've spent so many months from OTAs to training camp building a certain system. And so little by little, we're getting into this new identity of who we are at this moment. And I think it's I think you've seen it since the Kansas City game. We're starting to find balance. We're starting to find an identity. So,
and so when it comes to, you know, the play calling and things of that nature and just, you know, Zach's comfort level, what conversations have you had with Zach that you're willing to share with me? I mean, obviously it can't help to have, you know, Hard Knocks is all about, it was like a Rodgers documentary, you know what I mean? And we saw the way that the team was feeling about Rodgers being there, and the subtext was you needed him because Zach wasn't ready last year, I mean, to be straight up. And then, you know, the pressure and the nonstop chatter about him not being ready, I was definitely part of that drumbeat, I'm not going to lie. And then, you know, Joe Namath chiming in, all of that, it can't be easy. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for you. What conversations in that, if you will, foxhole did you have with Zach that you're willing to share with me?
You know what, to be honest with you, it's to have faith in himself. You know, this year is different than last year. Last year, I think it was very clear that he lost confidence. And it wasn't even about Sunday. It was about the week and about practice and just, I mean, it was, you could just tell that he was in his own head. He just wasn't having confidence in the way he was going, the way things were working out for him. This is different. You know, he's slinging the ball in practice. He's making the right decisions in practice. His footwork, timing, and rhythm is unbelievable. He's having days where he's 19 of 20. I think last week he was 19 of 20 on a Wednesday. Just doing a really, really good job. And, you know, so for him, just have faith in that. Just believe in yourself. Just take it to Sunday. The pitcher's not always going to be perfect, but have faith in your preparation, have faith in your footwork, your eyes, and just let that ball rip. And I think he's, you know, for him, it's all confidence. And I think he's done a good job. Like I said, we've played some really, really good defenses that make it hard, but he's getting better. And I'm just hoping for him to have a little bit more success as we go and continue getting better. He's going to prove that he belongs.
And you pulled him in your office and had these conversations? Or pulled him aside?
Just whenever I can. It's okay. Not even pulling him in. Sometimes, you know, he comes through the office once in a while. And we sit down and talk. Sometimes it's in stretch lines. It's, you know, sure. Just always trying. I try not to be too much in his head. You know, but he's a good young man. He stands for the right stuff. I always tell people that if a player is working his tail off and he's doing everything he can, and he has talent, you know, go back to Quincy Williams. You know, it's the same mold. These guys he's incredibly gifted and he's putting in all this work. If you just stay patient, he'll break through. Unfortunately, in the NFL world, patience is not a word, especially here. But you know, as a coach, you got to be willing to put your own, worries to the side and sacrifice and commit to these players and trust that if you just allow that athleticism to find its way, it'll pay off. But and it might not pay off for you as a coach, but it's going to pay off for him as a player, and that's all that's important.
A few minutes left I have with you. In your heart of hearts, you think Rodgers plays this year? Do you think?
I don't know. You know what? Let's say this, my heart is cheering for him because of how hard he's working to get back. And, you know, whether he does or doesn't, he's already told us everything he is. He's already spoken about the man he is, the character he is. And, you know, because it's very easy to just say, you know what, I'm off for the year. I'm going to kick my foot up. I'm going to hang out. But he is straining to try to get back. And I think that tells you everything that you need to know about him and his character.
What's he doing with Zach or around? Give me some examples of what he's doing in the mix. I mean, we see a photograph of him obviously celebrating the win against the Eagles here with the rest of his mates. But you got an example of behind the scenes of what he's doing? Anything on that front?
You know what? I don't know. He's going back and forth between California and with his rehab and all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, but I do know that he's been having conversations. I'm sure I would imagine they talk. I try not to pry into that. I do know that his teammates love him. We love him. And I know he loves his teammates. And anytime that he's around and his voice speaks, I think it's greatly appreciated. And, you know, he's a great young man. The connection he's made with his teammates in that locker room over the last 6 months is special. I don't know if I've ever seen it before.
Yeah, I saw Lake. I saw Lake and Tomlinson get all choked up about the, you know, the bond in that locker room. I saw that.
Yeah, it's a tight locker room, and I think he really appreciates it, and I think he recognizes how special this group is, and I think that's why they, you know, that's why I feel like he's fighting to get back, and I feel like that's why you know, it's a good group, you know, and he's definitely part of that.
But right now, I mean, I couldn't believe it. He's, you know, no boot. He says he's got a little limp or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous what's happening.
I asked him on Saturday night too. I was like, "Hey, do you want to be in the box or do you want to be on the field?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to be on the field." I was like, "Are you sure? Can your ankle handle it?" He said, "My ankle's fine." And anyone I've talked to that has had an Achilles injury has been pretty amazed that he's even walking at this point.
All right. So you have no intention of do you have any plans to go to Philadelphia in your bye week? I would. I don't know if you plan on going there, Coach. Any plans on that? You got any plans? No. I don't know how popular they are right there now. They, you know, they were not happy with the 11 kisses, and
you know what it was. You know the things that we live by. If they hate you, it means you're doing something right. So,
yeah, I know. I mean, they're not pleased with you. You know, and I know. I guess you were on Good Morning Football. You were remarking about your comments about embarrassing the other quarterbacks when you saw what was that about? Were you caught up?
My whole thing is maybe the word was a little rough, but facts are facts. You know, our defense, they make it hard on quarterbacks, and maybe embarrassing hurt some feelings, and I apologize, but I'm definitely not going to apologize for the way the defense has been playing.
I was just wondering, like, were you talking to your locker room there? Like, is that one of those things you would talk into the locker room through your mic, or that literally was like first blush, you're psyched you beat the Eagles, and that just came out? Something like that?
Following a game, I'm 15 minutes isn't enough for me to calm down after a game. But maybe Jared and Eric, our PR guys, just need to hold me for another 5 minutes. Because there's a lot of things I want to say.
Yeah, sure. Of that, I am sure. Okay.
No, it's
So what does the rest of your bye week look like before I let you go? Like, what are you doing?
You know, I'm in my golf clothes, so I get a little golfing. And then, other than that, just hang out with the kids, the wife. Maybe see a couple of movies, eat some popcorn, hang out with them, and see some of my kids' sports. Haven't gotten a chance to see any of that lately, but that's about it.
Okay. I didn't know that was your golf clothes, because the golf clothes I saw you in is you're wearing a shirt that's probably a little too small to show everything else off. I saw that shot, Robert.
It's a little chilly.
Okay. Understand. Okay. I get it. I appreciate the time right here. So your message to Jets fans would be what right now? The number of people that reach out to me, it's insane about, you know, the offense and Zach, and will Rodgers come back, and what are they going to do? There's a trade deadline. What message do you have to the community writ large at 3-3 on the bye? Coach, what do you have for me?
Keep the faith. Enjoy the ride.
All right. Very good. Coach, appreciate the time. You be well. We'll chat again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. That is Robert Saleh, the head coach of the 3-3 New York Jets, right here on the program. And I appreciate your silence, because you know what the rule is around here now.
What's that?
You must be quiet while Aaron Rodgers manifests.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Where is Aaron right now?
Manifesting probably about 6 miles up from here, right? Isn't that where the rehab center is for Eletrosh? It's right off the 405, isn't it?
What's up?
That's where he is.
Isn't he in New York now with the team?
No, he is not.
No. He's out here. Yeah.
He's not. He's out here.
I have nothing to add.
I know you don't.
He has nothing to add.
Nothing constructive to add.
Well, one thing's for sure is the conversation about getting a new quarterback in. Adios.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
Yep. No.
They don't need it. They're good.
Well, it's not... It's because you're 3-3. So
that's
you,
right.
You know, you're in the mix.
Right.
So you don't want to make a big change like that.
You don't have to. Why would you mess this kid? This kid's on an upward trajectory. Don't mess with him. He's not even asking if he's talking to Rodgers. You know, just leaving it alone.
Yeah, if you're 1-5, then maybe you could still, the conversation's probably still alive.
Or you just like say, screw it.
Yeah. So
it's not worth it.
Yeah, 3-3, you're still in the mix.
How big is that game going to be? Coming back from the bye. Do you see who they're playing? The Giants.
G-Man.
Battle of New York.
Who's home?
Because the New Jersey. The Giants versus the Jets.
I mean, that's not going to be a game.
The Giants just almost beat the Bills on the road.
Wait, hold on. Did they beat the Bills?
I'm just saying, Christopher, that the Jets have an opportunity to go above 500.
Oh, right. And I expect them
and to. And potentially send the Giants even further into a tailspin.
Jets are 3-point favorites.
Is exactly what Jets fans are up for. And then if the Jets win that game, they're 4-3 at home on a Monday night against the Chargers. Oof. To potentially go to 5-3. They could win that game the way that they are playing. They go to Vegas on a Sunday night. A few weeks ago, everyone's talking about how the Jets have these nationally televised games. Look out. Flex. Who wants out to that. See them? Right. They're not flexing out of Jets. By the way, you know what they're not going to do? Is flex out of a game featuring, wait for it, the New America's team.
Oh, gosh.
Hold on. I 26 million humans.
Yeah.
Tune in to watch a Jet game.
No, tune in to watch.
Eagles, Jets.
Yeah. He's right. He ain't lying.
I mean, it's true.
So if you are a television executive for NBC Universal,
you are not lying.
Or you're tuning in to see the Eagles.
No, I don't know about that.
What are you guys talking about?
No.
26 teams. Eagles don't got 26 million.
Guys,
it was the only good game in the afternoon window.
Be patient with him. He doesn't know what's happening in his football life.
He doesn't know what it's like.
He doesn't remember. Last time this happened in his football life, what were you like? You were 12? What were you?
What year?
Eight?
Hold on, what year?
I mean, it was probably pre-Parcells, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Was the last time you were like this?
I didn't become a Pats fan until we moved to Maine when I was 12.
I didn't become a Pats fan until Brady.
So then, 24 years ago, right?
90,
so you've never... give him some...
92,
guys,
thank you.
Let him
work it out.
Yeah,
because he's got
to work out.
Understanding that after a long line or a long list of success that... The fall happens sometimes, and it is a fall.
Yeah, it's a big Lulu. It's a big step.
Who cares? We're going to win one before they do again. I mean, what are you talking about?
Just let him go. Let him go. It's okay.
You win again.
You
know what he's doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. This is what he's doing. You know what he's doing?
Writing checks?
He's manifesting.
Oh.
Well, no, he's taking a page from Aaron Rodgers.
Where are the Dolphins?
Manifesting.
Like, we need Dolphin noises.
Patriots.
This is the business we've chosen.
I don't understand the Hyman Roth, but it's okay. Listen.
The team
you've chosen. It's all right, Chris. It's all right. The Jets just hosted a game.
It's the team.
26 million people watched it. So if you're NBC against Justin Herbert, you're psyched. You're not flexing out of that. And then there's a Monday night game against the Raiders.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, welcome to the party. Oh, pardon me. Sunday night against the Raiders? NBC's not flexing out of that.
No way.
What was it?
ESPN gets to have everybody in New York City? Come on, they're fired up.
Michael Jordan and Bill Weddington combined for 57 points in a game, right?
Okay. Listen, this guy can't handle.
He just doesn't want to
get
props.
He doesn't know how to handle it.
Oh, you know what? It's great.
People hate facts.
When we come back.
People don't like
Philly. When we come back, we'll help him out with a new Bill Belichick press conference moment that is just dynamite. And then a little red meat for you, TJ.
For me?
Delivered by Micah Parsons, your Penn State Lion.
That's my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went to Loki.
Oh, yeah. Before we go, I want to tell you about Game Time. Game Time tickets and the app. I love my Game Time app. It is so easy for me to use. It is so easy for you to use. I am checking things out on my app daily to see what's going on in Vegas for the Sphere.
You got to go, Rich.
By the way, it kind of blows my plans about surprising Susie with Sphere tickets when I talk about it every day. But it's also, you know what? It's the sacrifices I make for the Rich Eisen Show partners to tell them about how easy it is to use. Two buttons and you can basically buy your tickets. And then if you just take a look at it, they'll start sending you updates about, hey, your ticket prices have lowered. Go check it out. And you hop on. You can see exactly the view from your seats. You can also see the all-in pricing, so there's no hidden fees, and it's so easy for you to use. And the best part about it right now is if you go do what we've done, which is you put the app on your phone, you set up an account, and you can go ahead and use the promo code of Rich, you get $20 off. So you could redeem the code of $20 off your purchase by going right now to the Game Time app and putting in the code R-I-C-H. Go to GameTime.co for more information. Go check out everything with the Game Time app. It is awesome. You'll love it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More on that front when we come back. This one's for you, Chris. And this one's for you, TJ, because I'm a giver and I'm manifesting.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray of Oklahoma. Where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's good morning Heisman every day?
Yeah, tight.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman Trophy is resting
there. Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it by accident?
There's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning. No. And by the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman.
Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh my God! You won't even answer that. Wow. Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. That's two. Kyler Murray. That's three. By the way, that's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick.
That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven. That's it. Oh, my goodness. Here, let's get some. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
Can you get one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No. Yeah, it's getting bad. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten. Yeah. Kyler Murray. Good to see you, man. Congratulations, he won the Heisman and it seems the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Micah Parsons has an issue with the sports media.
Yeah, me too.
We know that from his appearance on this program.
In the chair you're sitting
in. He took this chair. Remember I sat in the guest chair? He took this chair.
He's good at it.
He was good at it.
He needs to come back.
And remember he said he was thinking of starting a podcast? Well, he has done so.
Home run.
And he has taken issue with the coverage of the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm
fresh off of them getting smoked by the San Francisco 49ers. They come back and win a game. And in the interim, 49ers lose, Eagles lose. And he, to use a Michael Irvin phrase, is wondering where the same intensity is in the coverage of the Cowboys and the other teams that just lost. This is what he had to say on his pod. Check it out.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. The Eagles were healthy. They had Jalen Hurts. They had the receiving core. They had their explosive weapon. They didn't have Lane Johnson. I will admit that they didn't have Lane Johnson. But does that make that big of a difference? Because I see my quarterback, you know, maybe not have the red zone success, but move the ball way better than the Eagles did Sunday night. So we want the same energy for everybody. Because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles. The Browns, and I heard a quote. Acho said this, which pissed me off. He said, I'm not worried about the 49ers. They were missing Christian McCaffrey. They were missing Deebo Samuel. This will piss me off about that, okay? They started that game. The Browns were missing Deshaun Watson. They were missing Nick Chubb. They were missing Jack Collin. They were missing them key factors before the game even started. So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk? But there's 100 excuses for these other teams. Like, if y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. But don't sit here and throw shade on us. Keep the same energy for everybody.
Same intensity. Micah, two things. One, welcome to being a Dallas Cowboy. Two, I've said this over and over and over and over again. If you take issue with a take of somebody on TV or the radio, and you have a problem with it, make sure the individual you're talking about isn't doing cartwheels over the fact that that person's name is being mentioned. You're giving oxygen to the taker. That said, if Dak Prescott had one more interception through week 6 that he had all of the previous year, in any year, obviously, if he had one more interception through week 6 that he had last year, it would be an unprecedented string of interceptions that he was on. But I'm just talking about any year. Mm-hmm. It would be a 5-alarm fire.
Of course.
A 5-alarm fire. And it is true that the 49ers did not have those players. But they did have a bunch of guys on defense who lost to P.J. Walker throwing down the field.
But no one is – I've only heard P.J. Walker's name mentioned on this show. No one's bringing up the fact that an XFL quarterback came in and beat the Mighty Niners. What Micah said is true. And I get it. And, you know, it's – the thing that's annoyed me the most since you put me in this chair is I, as a Cowboy fan, will say to you sometimes, I think we talk about them too much. I understand we move the needle and you get the clicks and everyone has an opinion. But the energy is never the same. Like, you've got people making Instagram videos who want to be, you know, sports media personalities who are talking about the fact that, you know, a backup quarterback did what Dak Prescott couldn't do. What's that got to do with us? Like, that, well, different week, different matchup, different rivalry. There was no rivalry. There was, you know, it's just.
But then again, first of all, two things. One, you were in the chair. Two, the oxygen that feeds this whole thing that I just mentioned, you kind of feed it too.
Who, me?
Yes, you refer to the Cowboys as varsity. Again, you've got velvet ropes around your spot.
What led to the velvet rope being put up? The fact that everyone kept talking trash, and then I'm looking, I've got Carolina Panthers fans. I've got fans of teams who've never, their team has never seen success.
Here's the other part of it, too, is what brings this on are clicks. But what brings it on is the people who click on it are Cowboy fans. And the flip side of it is you have a remarkable home field advantage sometimes on road teams in road games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 100%. Remember a couple of years ago, the Cowboys went to the Niners. Giants. The Giants were already way out of it. And the Giants owners basically said, hey, you don't, if you're selling your tickets, like, well, we'll give you a free medium soda or something like that if you show up. Yes. Remember that one?
That's right.
You know, Giants. Fan appreciation night. Right. Here's a medium soda.
You can't even get a large soda for that?
Like, medium. New Jersey, medium. They don't give stuff out for free.
Well, at least it wasn't a Hercules medium. It was like a real medium. But
that Sunday night ref was
we got toll roads.
Pretty jacked, too.
So, you know, seriously, though, you know, they were going silent snap count in SoFi. Mm-hmm. The Chargers were, because there were so many Dallas Cowboy fans there. So that's part and parcel. Like, and I totally understand why Micah would say, hey, Same intensity. When Jalen Hurts stinks it up, why aren't you calling him out like Dak? Hey, when we lose games that we shouldn't, it's because we stink. Well, not because of all why. The players that you we didn't have, you know? And the reason why it is because Cowboy fans talk a lot. They show up in places in full force that actually helps out, you know, the Cowboys. Let's put it this way. There weren't enough of that lady that got her 15 minutes of fame because she was so crazy rooting for the Chargers. They don't have enough of them in Los Angeles.
Also, here's why. Jalen Hurts is better than Dak. Okay, he was second in MVP last year. He equaled Dak's playoff wins last season. That's why we're not talking about it. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. Could have won the game. Dallas has yet to get out of the second round. So that's why.
That's another reason.
That's why he's not getting the pushback.
It's also he just moved the goalposts because for years it was like, Dallas can't go to the playoffs. And we get to the playoffs, it's like, oh, you can't win a game.
That
we
is true.
Game,
and the fact that
it's like, oh, well, you can't get past this round. And we're going to get past the second round this year. We'll lose in the conference finals. We'll be like, oh, well, you can't do that. Every time they do something,
what do you mean? It doesn't matter. This guy and his second year took a team to the Super Bowl.
That said, though,
and you're still waiting for Dak to do it.
It's a team, Chris. It's not an individual.
Not in the NFL, man. You got a quarterback, you can win the Super Bowl.
There's only one quarterback out there, like I said the other day, who is truly elite. He wears 15. He plays in Kansas City. That's it. Everyone else is on the same level as far as I'm concerned.
I must agree with you in this regard, TJ. And we talked about this, I think, the week before I left for London. People do talk about the Cowboys as if, not only did they miss the playoffs last year, they didn't make it and end Tom Brady's career. I mean, they won a playoff game. They actually won a playoff game. But to Chris's point, the reason why Hurts doesn't have the Dak scorn or the Dak intensity of scorn thrown on him is he actually did do what you've been waiting Dak to do. And that Dak did appear to have that sort of trajectory early on in his tenure. And kind of, you know, again, similar to Hurts in a way where he comes from the SEC. I know Hurts did have a season in Oklahoma, was drafted to a spot where they already had a quarterback. Wentz in Philadelphia, Romo in Dallas. Why are they playing him? They turned to Hurts after Wentz proved inoperable. They turned to Dak because it looked like Romo needed an operation. And Dak took the bull by the horns in the same way Jalen Hurts has done in Philadelphia. Dak had, at the time, as I wrote down in my book yesterday, about almost a dozen games to start his career in the first 3 years of his career where he scored a touchdown on the ground and threw one in. He doesn't do that as much anymore. But he did have a similar trajectory as Hurts, and unfortunately for him, has not taken the Dallas Cowboys to where Hurts took Philadelphia in just year two for him. His first full year as starter there.
Unfortunately, his ankle snapped through his
body. No, I get it, and I understand.
Bad luck is part of sports.
It's just a fascinating conversation, and I love seeing Micah Parsons cape for his guy and make an interesting point. It is. It does have some valid. There is some validity to what he's saying.
Oh yeah.
Even the Giant fan admits that.
I mean, you got one of your biggest personalities in sports who, his favorite thing to do is make a video every time Dallas loses. You don't see.
It is quite entertaining, though. I got to tell you,
the biggest and the loudest fan base. So yeah, sports shows are going to talk about them.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what?
I feel like, by the way, like a tennis match. You make a good point.
You know what? Everybody saw it. Winning it all.
What did you do today?
If they win the Super Bowl,
how was your
day?
You'll
never hear the end of it from Dallas fans, and you rightfully can do that. But until that point happens, you have nothing to say. End of story. End of story.
They'll do for a while.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm telling you. That's the way it is to me.
The four and Super Bowls that happened in my
you
lifetime,
guys all
does
know that.
It matter?
I cheer against the Cowboys as much
matter?
As I do against the Patriots. But the Patriots proved me wrong so many times.
Yeah, but Mike, you're a supreme troll hater. Like, I
no,
really
I'm not.
Care
of certain teams. Yeah, people do. They
you
love
don't
it.
Have a favorite team, so you're not as invested.
But you got to win it.
But TJ, he's entertaining.
I'm entertaining. You want
to
win.
To who?
Just, huh?
To whom is he entertaining?
I don't know. Who are you entertaining when you went on The Price is Right and didn't look at the middle key.
Well, I guess you guys, because you talk about it 2 years later, so I was entertaining to somebody.
We're like Dallas fans. We won't shut up about things that happened in the past.
That's true.
Wow.
That doesn't even make sense.
What do you mean? You literally just said,
what about the four rings we won in my lifetime 30 years ago?
That was
ago.
Like three comments prior to the... No, we're on the prices right, right
no,
now.
It wasn't.
I agree. On, I agree. I think there's some validity to what Micah Parsons had to say. I think we have drilled down on why there is that sort of
100%.
And truly, the Dallas Cowboys move the needle.
You know, you.
They move the 100%. Needle, but not like the New York Jets. 26 million people watched a Jet home game
on Fox.
26 million people watched a Jet home game in which Zach Wilson threw three fewer interceptions than Jalen Hurts. Oh, baby. Because you look, you're not popping unless you got a bunch of haters. I'm not apologizing for winning. All right, we're going to take a break.
I'm a hater.
Oh, we're going to take a break.
Clearly.
We've got some.
So are you.
We've got some quarterback
Chris, if
news.
If anyone's a hater here between me and you,
news on the availability of Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, this Kyler Murray news. Hey. Boy, we roll over that in hour one. And then Bill Belichick, the press conference moment that's coming up is really good. All right. Everybody's just really gotten intense in here. That conversation lingered into the commercial break, and I just need everybody to just, you know, listen, I just want everybody to get along. And then again, please, guys. Quiet while there's manifestation going on.
Okay, sorry.
Just up the road. Please keep it down.
Get the dolphin noises.
Seriously.
Mike, A-Rod.
He's up the road manifesting.
Mike,
will
I
you
need
please?
Some spa music, please.
It's very important.
We want spa. We need spa music.
We do need spa.
No, you don't. It's water. Not spa music because he's going to raise a ruckus.
Dolphins.
It's dolphin. Maybe dolphin.
He's watching the dolphin. Whatever it is.
Mike, I can get some sounds when I got on the boat.
Everybody just stop.
Yesterday.
That's all I'm saying is please.
Flipper.
The same.
Flipper, king of the sea.
Okay, so.
He was at that time. They are right now, actually.
Are you? Please, he's manifesting.
I'm sorry.
You want to take him fishing? Because you got your fishing license, right?
I would have a, I got my fishing license.
What does that mean?
It means I can actually fish. You can't fish off the water.
It means I can actually fish.
You can't fish. It's illegal to fish off the water or anywhere without a fishing license.
Okay, so how does
That's
one apply
true.
For the
it's
fishing
easy.
License?
You go to Dive and Surf and you say, I want a fishing license, and you literally pay like $20-whatever.
Oh,
and like,
so you didn't really have to pass a test.
No, there's no test. You just got to
test.
If someone doesn't know how to have a bait on a hook, they shouldn't be allowed. I'm sorry. You're not allowed to hold a fishing rod.
I would bet that Aaron Rodgers got on Del Tuvo's boat before you and I got
We're on. Never getting on the We're boat. Never. That's for sure.
What's the name of the boat?
Stugat.
He's so stupid.
It's not. It's amazing. But I have four
it's not amazing.
Literally the other day.
Four people.
Greatest thing. Four people. I pointed five.
So then my one word against those four people. Those four people love the name? I think it's dumb.
No, it's fine.
I love Stugat. You. But I mean, it's not.
You
it's
stole
derivative.
The name.
No, it's derivative.
Wait, no, what do you mean, no, you didn't?
Well, first of all, Stugat, Tony Soprano stole from
That was the name of your jalopy that you used to
that
have.
That was the name of my truck when I moved out here.
Exactly.
You stole it from me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Everybody, just please, we're manifesting.
Did you have a car before the Soprano?
All right. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so let's whip through this. Yes. Lots of quarterback news. No Justin Fields in Chicago right now. He's not practicing.
Can't grip the ball.
They're calling him doubtful. This doesn't look good. Looks like Tyson Bagent's going to get his first career start.
What if he balls out?
That'd be great.
For who?
For the arm wrestling world in Chicago.
What if instead of a coin toss, his dad comes out and he has to arm wrestle someone from the other team?
Exactly.
For the ball.
That's a great idea. Great.
Right. Aiden O'Connell's dad.
Amazing.
Because it looks like he might go as well. No Jimmy G today for the Raiders.
Yeah.
So that's a big game, too. And so Raiders are 3-3.
They're in the mix.
I know. And the Bears have Tyson Bagent starting. You have to assume Max Crosby is just like licking his chops.
What's the sack record?
I don't know. He must be thinking that.
Seven, right?
Jimmy G leads
the league. But wouldn't it be totally like the Raiders just come out and then not look as sharp and let the Bears off the mat?
Absolutely.
So the Bears can go over the top.
Oh,
thank you.
I don't think the Condor is going to do that.
You know,
Rich.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and McDaniels wouldn't even commit to Aiden O'Connell.
That's insane.
He's hoping Brady will
sue. If Brian Hoyer starts, Raiders fans should riot. Protest. Don't watch.
You know the Raiders.
You've
fans
seen enough of Hoyer.
Well, I don't need to do.
But
this
it's Michigan
again.
State Week, Chris. It would be fitting for him.
Chris don't care
to start
that.
And get his ass beat.
And get blown out, exactly.
Oh, I'm really feeling my oats this week, folks. I'm just starting. By the way, check out Taylor Lewan's video to Michigan State fans. It's chef's kiss. It's great. Also, Kyler Murray's 21-day window to start practicing is open.
Oh.
He's practicing today. Two words on his at K1.
K1, great.
Practicing today. Oh, boy. Hell, let me just tell you this. I have been so wrong about the Arizona Cardinals. Mea culpa. We thought, yeah. You know, the pew, 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 and all of that, that, you know, you're taking the bus, you're taking the truck, that you're taking...
You still haven't figured out what that means.
We thought this guy would just step all over his
Gannon.
Yeah, step over Gannon. And this team is in every game. They get Josh Dobbs towards the beginning of the season, and you're thinking, what are they doing? They are tanking.
Hey, they beat up.
And they are a tough out every week in the NFL. And I thought with one win entering week 7, they would be telling Kyler, you know, your knee isn't that great. We can't run the risk. And Josh Rosen him. And instead, they're going to bring him back. The start in the window, as long as he doesn't have a setback, he's playing. He's playing.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and win games. And you know what they're going to do with him? Win games.
Yeah, probably.
Win games. And they might even prune the tree a little bit more of his playmakers before the trade deadline. And what they're going to do, if you think they're not winning games with Kyler Murray, when they're almost winning games with Josh Dobbs, who's playing his head off, Buda Baker might come back too.
Buda.
I have been so wrong about the Cardinals. They've been a fun team to watch.
Yeah, except for one game I didn't enjoy.
I know
so much.
Exactly. That's yeah, the one.
That it was crazy. Pretty cool. But
crazy.
Here's some more quarterback news. Deshaun Watson, what's up with his shoulder? He doesn't start. Then they come in. They go into the bye. He's definitely going to start after the bye. No, it's PJ Walker, and they beat the 49ers. Is he going to go this week or what? He doesn't practice today. This is what he was talking about with his shoulder.
It's coming along. It's definitely been, the arrow's been, you know, trending up. So, you know, each and every day we've just been trying to get better and better and try to get as comfortable as possible.
Are you concerned that this is going to linger at all this year, that's going to affect your passing through the season? Or do you think that you'll be 100% at some point this year?
I'm not sure. This is my first time dealing with a rotator cuff. So I'm just trying to get as comfortable as I possibly can to go out there and perform at the level I know I can. And if I can't, then, you know, we just got to continue to take it day to day. You know, I'm not going to put the team in jeopardy if I can't do certain things that is going to allow us to, you know, be handicapped in certain situations. So, you know, that's the reason why I haven't been able to, you know, step on the field.
Calling it rotator cuff bruising.
Yeesh.
So it could be PJ Walker in Indianapolis this week. P.J. Walker versus Gardner Minshew, week 7. Who the
That's
hell thought?
That's what you signed up for.
Wow. And here we go. Anthony Richardson versus Deshaun Watson. As soon as the schedule
I
comes
know,
out,
like,
right?
Yes.
You're like, okay. You never can tell. Yeah. Same thing. Hey, Giants almost beat the Bills. They banged up. They put Josh Allen in the blue tent, which put the hearts in Buffalo throats, to say the least. Mm-hmm. This is Josh Allen today about his readiness for this upcoming week's game against New England.
To clarify on your shoulder moving forward, Sean, I mentioned soreness earlier in the week. Is it more of like a pain management deal, or is it more preventative risk management?
I would put it in the pain management, but, you know, it's feeling pretty good.
He's not talking about it. What is he going to do? Is he going to tell?
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah,
he's going to get Belichick anything?
Is
he's going to tell the coach he's the most famous about not talking about injuries. Information on his injury. Got it.
Right.
You know, it hurts. I'm icing it up. And in terms of press conference sound bites that are short and sweet to the point, here is the moment Bill Belichick was asked about what his rallying message to his one-win team is getting set to take on the Bills.
Oh, great.
It is today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Can't wait.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
This is obviously, not the way that you guys have wanted to start your season. What's your message to your team as you try to keep them motivated and staying positive to try to change the narrative of your season with a back-to-back division opponents?
Yeah, get ready to play Buffalo.
Josh Allen could play left-handed and beat us by 40 this week.
Left-handed.
I love these questions. By the way, just don't ask him what his Halloween plans are next week.
No. Stay away from that.
Bill's solo now, so.
No, stop it.
He is. I'm just saying. Whatever.
You think Randy Moss is going to have another
party at Randy Moss's house?
It's a quarterback and a coach. A few words.
Bill's handing the candy out.
Leading in. You should do a better job. Take a page from Rodgers. Manifest a win. Manifest.
I don't want us to win.
Manifest.
We need to go 1-16.
Brock, we want him to lead. He wants Caleb.
I don't know. Maybe Malik Cunningham is the answer. Let's see. I'm serious. By the way,
Stranger things have happened. Career. Like, let's put him out there.
Last time a backup went in there, a dynasty was born.
Right.
Two backups removed. Belly Zappi, that didn't happen.
Be good enough to just lose. That's what I'm saying.
Or get ready to beat the Bills. Come on!
Or just win, baby.
Come on!
No!
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you were asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.